Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women in healing mother wounds through the 1-on-1 10 weeks program and through Reclaim Your Fullness online community. To know more about these offerings, sign up to the newsletter or visit the website womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. All the links are in the description of this episode. Today, let's talk about what happens when your mother sends you a message. And this can apply to email as well, but we're going to keep it to messages for simplicity. So, does immediate anxiety kick in for you when you receive a message from your mother on your phone? Do you drop everything to jump into answering? Do you feel guilty if you can't answer straight away or if you decide not to? If you are no contact, do you panic, not knowing what to do? Or do you get extremely frustrated because that feels like a breach of boundaries? Messages can arrive on your phone at any time and out of the blue, and this can cause quite a bit of confusion and anxiety and frustration. And I do get questions on this quite often. Sort of like, I just got this message from my mother, what should I answer? Or should I ignore it? Should I tell her I don't want to answer? She keeps on messaging me, what should I do? And the interesting fact is that I don't get quite as many questions about calls. I'm not sure if it is the fact that calls are easier to avoid in a way, or if it is because a narcissistic mother will use messages because they remain there on your phone staring at you if you don't answer. What I've experienced with the more covert narcissists is that they use the "I didn't want to disturb you, so I sent you a message" to trigger guilt, and even some kind of a reaction of "Oh, how considerate! She didn't even want to disturb me, so that makes you feel even more guilty." Making you forget perhaps the boundaries you may have set about messaging times and all of that. Maybe you have said no messages after a certain time in the evening or no messages when I'm at work or stuff like that. But this, oh, I didn't mean to disturb you. And yet what's implied in the message, and you know it, is that, yeah, she didn't mean to disturb you, but at the same time, you got to answer straight away or else. So messages can be a sneaky way to get you to answer, even if you are low contact, or even if it arrives at a time when you don't want to answer calls, like in the evening, when you're with your family, for example, or even during work. So that's the sneaky nature of it. A phone call, you're clearly not going to answer a phone call in the middle of a work meeting or a dinner with your family, maybe, but a message is going to pop up onto your phone and it's going to remain there. And it is an effective way to get you in a panic if you have gone no contact, for example, and a message arrives after a long time of no communication. Either because that's a big breach of boundaries, there is a reason why you went no contact, and that message that arrives out of the blue can actually trigger a lot of anxiety, a lot of reactions in you. I know that. I've been there for sure. And also because you can maybe fear that it could be an emergency. On the other hand, messages can be easier to deal with than calls. It may be simpler to have an interaction with your mother via messages than via an actual phone call. It may be easier to send a short answer and to direct the conversation. And it may also be easier to make the conversation shorter if you need to. I know for that reason, my mother never told me anything via messages because there's like this, I don't know if consciously or unconsciously, but she knew that phone calls were more difficult for me, where messages weren't, so she would try to steer me to a phone call. So she would send me messages that would trigger, and then she would expect a call, like something like that. Call me, it's urgent. That's it. And I felt like there was an emergency. And then when I called, she would just say, I just wanted to ask you about the weather. or something like that. So there was actually no emergency. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but that can be deeply, deeply triggering. In general, though, it may be easier to communicate via messages than see through an entire call. In my case, the average recovery time I needed after each call was 2 weeks, and that was like on a good day. I could deal with messages a lot better. So to stir and direct your mother into sending messages rather than phone calls, if you are in contact with her. So we're going to talk about the low contact, the no contact as well. But if you are in contact or low contact, having sort of like steer the situation so that your mother rather send you messages than ringing you, or having set a boundary perhaps that says, please, you know, send me messages, do not ring me. If you try and ring me, I will not answer the phone because I'm at work, or I will not answer the phone because I'm with my family. So if you ring me, consequence, I will not answer. If you send me a message, I will read it when I can and get back to you. That kind of sets a boundary that starts directing the conversation more via messages than via phone calls, which can be easier to deal. And yet, as we said, messages can cause quite a bit of triggering. And so today I want to offer you some steps, three steps process to support you with that, with what happens when you're receiving a message. This is going to go through, this is going to work whether you are actually in contact normally with your mother and you just want to have a process to deal with her messages, especially if that's a something that happens all the time. She could be messaging you every day. If you're in low contact, because it's going to happen that she touches base with you and tries to reach out. And also if you're no contact, I'm going to go for the no contact. I'm going to offer a variation in a little while. So stick with it. So here's the three steps process. And it's the process that we've spoken to before on this podcast. And it's three steps are pause, feel, and respond. And this process, this method has saved me in countless situations, not just with my mother, but other narcissistic members of my family, and also with people that have narcissistic behaviors that are not actually part of my family, but could be people I've had to work with, people I have to have contact with in my day-to-day life. So it's a really, really, really good method that works. And today we're going to talk about how to apply it to the situation of the messages. Now, I'm also going to have a quick guide to this three steps process that you can download for free. So once you've done with the episode, you can go down to the links in the description and you can download the free quick guide to how to deal with your mother when she sends you messages. And this three steps process is going to be all there for you to have so that you have it anytime the situation comes and you can have a look at it and then know what to do. So the first step is pause. When you get a message, instead of jumping into answering, because that's one of the worst things that we can do, is jumping into answering. No matter what gets triggered, okay? If it's like panic, if it's guilt, if it's a lot of frustration because she sent you a message that you think she shouldn't have because it's at the wrong time, it's a breach of boundary, whatever. The jumping into answering is the worst thing that we can do. That is going to open up a whole can of worms because it opens you up to further manipulation. It opens you up to more conflict. It opens you up to create more drama, ultimately, which is what she's trying to do. We know that if she's a narcissistic mother, she's trying to get attention. And the more drama gets created around something, the more attention she's getting. So the straight away, okay, I need to do something about this, I need to answer, it's not going to be supportive of you. It's not going to help you. So pause is the first step. When we answer out of an impulse, we usually answer out of a triggered response. So practice pausing first. Take a moment. Whatever you do, don't answer a message from your narcissistic mother on impulse. Take a moment, have a chat with someone that you trust. Take a few breaths, go for a walk. Take a moment. The next step is feel. Here is where you actually make use of this pause that you've allowed yourself to take. And you feel, is there anxiety there? Or guilt, perhaps? You ask yourself, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of the consequences if you don't answer straight away? Are you worried it is an emergency? Now, this is where you also ask yourself, how likely is it that it's a real emergency? You know, with my mother, I got used to the fact that it actually was never an emergency. Even the time that she messaged me that she had a car crash and I nearly died driving as fast as I could, dropping work to get to her, she was 100% unharmed. She was already being assisted. She had called other people. The ambulance was there. There was nothing. She didn't even have a scratch. She was 100% fine. It had been a really simple going off the road, but nothing major had happened. And I actually nearly died trying to get to her, thinking, oh my God, she's bleeding in a ditch. That's the message she sent me. So how likely is it that it is an emergency? Does she really need you? Are you truly in a position to message? Are you busy? Are you in a moment when your attention needs to be on something else? So can this wait? What are you trying to avoid by answering straight away? Because that's a really important question to ask ourselves and feel into. Because that impulse of answering straight away is actually trying to avoid some discomfort that we're feeling. This could be the anxiety and discomfort, the guilt that may be triggered, the fear of the consequences, the fear of the horrible intensity of having to set a boundary. We don't do this consciously, but subconsciously we may try to avoid all of these things. And so we go into answering. We just jump into answering because it feels like the less of the two evil, but it's not on the long run. Maybe are you afraid of being judged as a bad daughter if you don't answer straight away? Does the message arrive at a time when you had a boundary of no messaging and no communication and you're actually risking of jumping into answering, sort of supporting your mother in a way in breaching that boundary? So all of these questions, not maybe all at once, but it's for you to feel into. Take that pause and take a moment to feel into what is driving your answering, whatever that may be. You could even be trying to figure your non-answering, which is okay too. It's important to have this time so that you can feel into it and you can plan what you're going to do next from a grounded center place. So if any of what I've just asked is what happens to you when you get a message, please know that you are not weird or overreacting and you're not alone in this. For many who have not been through having a narcissistic mother, a message is just a message. But for us daughters of narcissistic mothers, a message comes with a load, and we know it. So all those reactions are very justified by what you may have experienced with such messages in the past. Even if the message is apparently innocuous, like a simple, how are you? I haven't heard from you in a while. Your system knows there's more behind it. This is the part when you don't jump into answering, but you learn to gently deal with the trigger. As in, there may be anxiety there, as we said, or guilt, or even panic, and it may be sedated momentarily if you reply straight away to your mother, and if you do what's requested of you in the message. But at what cost? What is the price you're paying later? Like in my example of my mother telling me to ring her, if I, as I often did, ring straight away as per requested, the price to pay is 2 weeks average of recovery time after the abuse that I'm sure is coming. So the price to pay for answering, I'm not available to call now, tell me via message, or wait until next week. There may be anxiety in the moment, and I can breathe through that. but the price I'm going to pay if I actually jump into ringing her, because that's what she requested via message, is way, way higher. So this time where you're feeling into it supports you in processing all of this. So learning to regulate and get your nervous system to settle is part of the process. So go for a walk. Talk to someone who understands the situation. Take a few breaths. Get support. Gently allow your system to be in a place where you can be more clear-headed to answer and less reactive. This prepares you for step three, which is responding. Now, the time that it takes you to feel into it can be a few moments, or it can be a couple of days, or it can be a couple of weeks. You are allowed to take whatever time it takes and to set a boundary if needed. But anyways, we get to respond, which is your third step. This is where you actually respond if that is what you've decided to do. So what is the response? That depends on what you have decided, but there are a few guidelines to keep it safe and effective for yourself. So when you're responding to a message from your narcissistic mother, first of all, short and to the point. So if she's asking you, if she's messaging you saying, oh, I'm just checking in with you, I haven't heard from you in a long time, I've been busy with work, full stop. No fluff, like emojis or decorative sentences, none of that, especially when we're talking about reactive emojis, so that if you want to react to what she said to you with an angry emoji, with a sad emoji, with anything like that, don't. That's going to lead to more stirring, more triggering, more trying to get you to react. Don't do that. So no fluff, no decorative sentences, nothing, just short and to the point. No questions like, yeah, I've been busy with work, and how are you, or what can I do for you? Absolutely not. No such questions. A question that you add to a message leads to an opening for her to tell you drama or tell you something that's going to trigger you more. You don't want that. You don't need that. Fourth point, ignore the drama. So if in her message she's made a whole big drama, you take whatever point was the only essential point that needed to be communicated to you and respond to that in whichever way is appropriate. But forget about all the drama that she's adding to it just to play the violin or to make or to guilt trip you or whatever. That's irrelevant. Take away all of that stuff and answer to whatever her main point is. This is the equivalent to using gray rocking. If you're familiar with gray rocking, which is a non-reaction to whatever in conversation. Now, I have an episode on it. There are times that it is useful with a narcissistic mother and times where it's not. But with messaging, this is one of the places where you can actually use gray rocking successfully, which is, again, you ignore the drama, you don't react, you just respond short, to the point, to the main point that she was making, if it requires a response. If it doesn't require a response, if what she says is just for the sake of stirring some crap for you, then you don't respond. And you wait for the next message. And then if she's insisting, you're like, well, I don't know why you're insisting. Your previous message didn't deserve a response. Full stop. On we go. And the last one, set boundaries. So if the message came, for example, at a time where you have set a boundary previously that no messages are to be sent, maybe after 7 p.m., you're with your family, you don't want your mother to message you, or maybe you're at work, then do not reply until the next day. And if she complains about the delay, you restate your boundary, then continue with what the message was about. If you answer then, you are breaching your own boundary. You're not reinforcing it, you're making it worse, because It means you've opened her message at the time where you have decided you would not. So remember, when you're setting boundaries, you're setting them first and foremost for yourself. You are the one that has to make sure that they're respected, because your mother, if she's narcissistic, she's not going to like boundaries, and more than likely she's not going to respect them. So manage your expectations. Don't expect her to respect them, but do it yourself. If the message arrives at the time where you've set a boundary, then you do not answer. And you wait until the next available time where you had said that you would check her messages. If anything, this would have to take a step back. And if the message arrives at the time where you said you wouldn't check messages, don't even check it. So pause, feel, respond. These are the three steps when the message comes. And the pause is going to be hard at the beginning, okay? It's especially if you're in the habit of just jumping into it straight away, that's going to feel like intense. And I get that, and that's okay. That used to feel like absolute torture for me when I was still in contact with my mother. I had to jump and answer. I had to drop anything. It didn't matter if I was spending time with my daughters or if I was working. It didn't matter. The phone had to be there, and I had to answer my mother. So when I started actually taking that time and pausing and experimenting with it, it was really, really difficult at the beginning. Really, really intense. But that intensity was for me to work with. The quick fix of answering straight away was only going to bring more trouble. So learning to deal with that intensity, it's a process, but it's important. And the more you train your system, the more you're going to be able to actually implement that pause with way, way, way less intensity. My mother doesn't message me anymore. We're no contact, but I know with other narcissistic people and other members of my family now, it's like, yeah, whatever. I can wait as long as I want. There's really actually very little left of intensity in that pause anymore. But that comes from practice. And again, get support with that so that you train your system to pause. Now, if you are no contact, because I said I would talk about the no contact. If you're no contact, the first two steps remain similar enough. So if you're getting a message that comes out of the blue, maybe you've just started the no contact and your mother still hasn't completely grasped the full extent of what you mean by no contact, or maybe you haven't told her straight away. You haven't actually expressed the full "I will go no contact from now" sentence, which I never did. So it, you don't have to do it, but maybe you want to do it. I don't know, but maybe you haven't done it. And so your mother is still messaging you. The pause when you get a message, it's very important, rather than jumping into answering, because jumping into answering, whether you're doing it from frustration and anger, or whether you're sort of like, "Did you not get that I went no contact for a reason? Did you forget what you did to me?" I get that that's an impulse. I really do. When my mother sent me messages after the last episode, which was the moment I decided to go no contact, there was an impulse to answer, "Hey, do you not get that you shouted down the phone at me for 20 minutes? How are you even messaging me now?" So I get that there is that impulse. Or it could be guilt that gets triggered, because sometimes when we go no contact, guilt is there. Okay, so answering from that impulse is going to make you break the no contact, which is likely what she's looking for you to do, because she has noticed, even if she doesn't have the specifics, she has noticed that you haven't called her in a long while, that you haven't replied to some maybe previous messages, and now she's getting more insistent. So pause, that remains the same. Feel into the situation and into yourself, because learning to regulate when anxiety or guilt hit, or anger, even the frustration more than anger, is a very important part of the process. Now, An invitation for an effective no contact is to block your mother altogether so she can't even attempt messaging you. This is the ultimate boundary. As we said, the boundaries are not really for them, they're for you. They're to protect yourself. So if you expect your mother to actually respect the no contact, some mothers do. Mine, in fairness, did, because her regular way of punishing me has been the silent treatment. So the minute I went no contact, well, she delivered the silent treatment, which has been going on for three years or so. So there you go. That kind of helped me in a way, although it obviously hurt too. But so you can have mothers that actually just, the ones that either have neglected more, that they're more prone to silent treatment, that's their way to get attention. They may not attempt to reach you, but very often, if you're expecting her to actually respect the no contact boundary, that may not happen. So may not happen. So the best way to do it is to actually implement it yourself and blocking her from being able to send you messages, to call you or send you emails. It's a very effective way to implement a no contact. She can't reach you anymore. So this is the ultimate boundary. If you're no contact, chances are that she hasn't actually respected your boundaries that you've set before. Hence the need for going no contact. So it may be far-fetched that she will respect this one. Okay, so that's why by blocking her, you make sure it happens. Now, do you need to explain to her that you have her blocked or why? No, you don't. One of the rules of successful boundaries is no explanations and no justifications, because everything you say is going to be used to manipulate you further. You may go through a middle step, which can be something like, I will keep this channel open only for emergency. If you message me again about anything else, I will block you. That can be an option. A safer option would be to block and actually have a designated trusted person that will inform you if there is indeed an emergency, if that is something that you would like to be informed about. This way, you leave your mother no excuses to contact you, because again, as we said, she can think it's an emergency because she wants to make it an emergency, but it's not actually an emergency. So whenever we can have as much clarity as possible, as much black and white as possible, the easier it is then to deal with the situation. And boundaries, the more black and white they are, the easier it is. So in general, the bottom line is, if you're no contact, you do not respond to messages anymore. So the first two steps still apply, because the pausing and feeling, it's important, because if a message has arrived and is still triggering stuff in you, which is okay, it naturally happens. You're not weird or overreacting, as I said, but to be able to process that, feel into what's been triggered, work through your patterns and trauma responses a little bit more, that is going to support you be less and less reactive to these triggers. So that's work you're doing for yourself, not for your mother. And when we get to step three, which is respond, well, if you're in a contact, you don't respond. In any other case, only respond after you've had time to settle and feel into yourself first, then the message, and then decide what to answer. Whether you are in regular contact or low contact, it is helpful to have clarity within yourself as to what boundaries you want to set, like timing of messages, what messages are okay and what are not. You have every right to ask for clarification, like if you get a message, call, it's an emergency. Instead of running to call, you can message, what's the emergency? Be specific and then wait. She might just go, I need to talk to you. You pause and then you answer, about what? Rather than calling straight away. And if she keeps messaging guesswork type messages, you can set a boundary. such as either be specific or I won't answer anymore on this topic. She could keep messaging you all day just to keep your attention on her or to trigger you so you drop everything and call her and so on. So you have every right to keep your energy safe and focus on what is important to you, on your life, and you do not owe your mother an explanation, especially once you've set boundaries. This is really important. So your messages, like when you receive a message, you have the perfect right to require her to be specific, to get to the point, set a boundary that if she doesn't, you're not going to message anymore. You have every right to say, not right now, I will respond whenever I'm free next. You have every right to say, I'm taking a break from messaging, I will not answer until next week. You can also block a number for a period. So if you want to have a time, like you're going on holidays with your family, or you have a weekend where you want to be by yourself, or you're doing something that's meaningful to you, whatever that is, you can block your mother for a period of time and then resume afterwards. All of these options are available to you. You do not have to be at her beck and call to be a good daughter. If you decided to go no contact, you don't have to explain anything to her. You have every right to set boundaries. So in the links in the description, you're going to find the quick guide to the process of dealing with messages from your narcissistic mother. So go ahead and download that. That's free for you to have as a resource. And also there is a roadmap to boundary setting. Same stuff. You can find the link in the description, and that also is free for you to download. So those resources are there for you to be able to approach this kind of situations and know what to do and have a tested method that works, that's proven to work, that is going to support you in those moments. And then on this, if you have any questions, you can send me an email at mathilde@womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. And with that, I'm going to wish you a wonderful week. Send you lots of love. Bye for now.